Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori, and Nikki.
And we already have a caller, so I'm going to go straight to the phones. We have Alu here in New Hampshire on the line. Alu, what's on your mind?
Hi, what is on my mind is I want to respond to a great debate that's very important that Richie Vance and a few others and Dave Ridley got into a few nights ago. I'm not sure if you guys listened, but pretty much Dave Ridley and Richie Vance got into a heated argument about nuclear weapons. And Dave Ridley, who from the Ridley Report, a big, longtime, amazing New Hampshire liberty and peace activist and independence activist, even though he's a voluntarist, I believe, he believes that nuclear weapons should not be legal, and he indicated he would support government force being used against those who had nuclear weapons because they're so dangerous and they have no legitimate use.
I don't know if he specifically said government force, but he definitely said force of some kind. So I guess that would mean, like, in the absence of the state, like, for, like, local people getting together to use force to remove the nuclear weapons, like, I assuming, like, for the greater good or to, you know, to keep them out of the wrong hands, so to speak. And, of course, Richie Rich did not like that and, you know.
Yeah, so I think that they both kind of did not address what the primary issue is, which is there a real, clear, present danger to others? And we actually, on libertyoflaw.com, we wrote an article. Mike Sanello, I believe, primarily wrote the article years ago, and I'll send it to you guys. But pretty much what it said was, yes, obviously the Second Amendment and natural rights includes the natural right to own anything, including nuclear weapons. Now, practically speaking, on a practical level, forget, you know, the Constitution and laws and principle, practically speaking, no human can get a weapon because it'll cost, the nuclear weapon would cost you, I believe, billions, decades of research from like dozens or hundreds or thousands of PhD scientists with, you know, unbelievable amounts of training. That's why, like, Dave Ridley indicated that like states could acquire them and people couldn't, but they didn't really mention. Mike Sanello, who's very smart, went into it. The amount of like what you would need is not like an AR-15. You would need like tremendous facilities and development and decades of hundreds of PhD scientists and, you know, I think like billions of dollars to get it. Now, on principle, I would support banning, you know, criminalizing nuclear weapons only if it was dangerous to others. And by that, I mean radiological material. I'm not an expert in radioactive plutonium, but the basics is some materials are so radioactive that even kept in your house through the walls, it will kill your neighbors. So if your neighbor is dying or at real risk of dying just by you owning it, not like an AR-15, I can own an AR in my house, and I do, and it's not killing my neighbor. But the nuclear material, if you don't have, like, I don't know, a 10-foot steel wall or whatever box, it will literally kill your neighbors. Then I can understand using force against the person because they buy it.
Because think about what's needed to contain, like, in the case of, like, a nuclear power plant, all that is required to contain that nuclear, whatever it is, material. I mean, I'm assuming the average person wouldn't have access to that.
Yeah.
So I do understand that.
Well, what
and
about
I agree
a group
with you,
of people, Alu? What about if a group of people were getting together and they wanted to make a nuke and they just didn't even have very good practices? It was leaking out to their neighbor's house. What should
then
be done
then? Like, we treat anything else. How do we treat smoking in someone's face, toxic gases, they're putting VX gas in someone's face, that's a violation of the NAP.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be some gray area or some litigation to be had about how close does the smoke have to be to them to be a NAP violation. But I think Richie Rich and Dave were both kind of missing the primary issue of what the NAP is as far as are you harming someone else? It's not about the nuclear weapon having no legitimate use. I was very disappointed to hear Dave Ridley say anything that doesn't have a legitimate use shouldn't be legal.
Well,
because,
one thing I can say,
they can argue anything, though.
About the legitimate use thing is, well, do you agree that it has no legitimate use? Because I think I do.
I don't know what legitimate means, but also who decides?
Here's what legitimate means. Well, here's what I mean by that. Legitimate means I can never have the right to nuke a city because an entire city can never wrong me. A person can, a group of people can. The odds that an entire city are going to actually harm me and I need to defend myself against them, I don't think that's even possible.
Well, I think another point.
On principle, you cannot ban a person from owning anything. I don't care how you think about that thing. I agree, obviously.
I don't think banning is the answer either, but I also see where Ridley is coming from with no legitimate use.
Yeah.
But does that mean I shouldn't be able to own? I should be able to own whatever I want, whether it has a legitimate use or not. So,
and I think that was part of Richie Rich's point was, I should be able to have this thing just because I want to, and if you try to take it from me because you don't want me to have it, that means you are aggressing on me, and I will do what I need to do to protect myself against you, because technically that is the person that is aggressing in this case. You know what I mean? Like, just an innocent person with a nuclear weapon. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous because it's like, why would you, how would you, you know what I mean? But
yeah, but if you're not doing anything wrong.
No, yeah, if you're not.
You're not hurting anyone with it, then.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the point is you're not in the wrong until.
You've done something wrong.
You've done something wrong. Exactly. So just owning the thing isn't being in the wrong. Once you harm somebody with that thing,
right? That's thought crime territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it does get very. I mean,
I think before we have any debate, and again, Dave and Richie didn't do this. Before you have any debate, you have to clarify which realm you are arguing in. Is it constitutional? Is it practical? Or is it principled? On principle, yes. Practically speaking, yes. You know, you shouldn't have a nuke. I would not recommend my friend get a nuke. But on principle, you have the right to own anything unless you hurt someone with it. You know, possession is not a crime. Only, you know, an act of aggression is a crime. So constitutionally, yes, the Second Amendment says you can have nukes. So you have to, you know, it depends which realm you're arguing in. Are you arguing what's a good idea to have and carry? Then I would say you shouldn't have a nuke. If you argue constitutionally or principledly, yes. So, and again, in my book, The Pocket Guide to Killing Gun Control, I try to go through those three arguments, and I explain the constitutional, principled, and practical argument because they're different realms.
Do you bring up nuclear weapons in your book specifically?
I believe I do mention it, either in it or in an appendix of the book. And I say, like, on principle, yes, but practically, no. And constitutionally, yes. So there are different ways to argue it. Personally, I like the principled argument better because it doesn't depend on other factors like the Constitution or the practical statistics.
But when you say practically, no, do you mean that, I mean, like, how would I stop someone I don't know in, like, northern New Hampshire it's Richie Rich. He moved to northern New Hampshire. He's all alone. He didn't tell anyone his plans, and he's up there getting a nuke.
Yeah, practically, I don't have any good ideas for disarming them, though. Hmm. But, I mean, not quite that practical. But practically speaking, would I recommend to my friend Bonnie to acquire a nuke? I would say no. You know, that's not cool.
Yeah, so I think, like, advice-wise, like, if you have one, I won't do anything about it. But I would, if somebody was asking my opinion, I'd probably advise that they don't do that.
And that comes to, you know, like, campaigns, like campaigning against people making nukes, stuff like that. Like, you can influence people.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, exactly. That's how normal people handle things, right? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to create laws and regulations and ban things. You can just be like, hey, this is a dumb idea, and if you do it, you know, we're going to shun you.
Yeah, I think another important point, and I definitely mentioned this in the book, another important point is when people like statists say, how can you trust people like those crazy people like Nikki and Bonnie to have nuclear weapons? Just say, okay, currently, what's the current status quo? You always got to compare stuff to the status quo. Right now, people like Biden and Xi Jinping and Putin and stuff have nukes. Mm-hmm. How much do you trust them? And everyone will admit they trust Biden and Trump and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un and Putin less than they trust Bonnie and Nikki. You know, everyone in the world would agree to that. So
hopefully.
Like, look at the status quo. I mean, like, we don't trust them with the nuclear weapons, and that's who currently has them. And it's the same with all weapons. So, like,
it's the status quo, and right now the most violent, evil, psychotic people have those weapons.
And if I were to guess, I would think that most people would prefer that no one had nuclear weapons, and at the very least that, like, these evil politicians, dictators, definitely, like, no one wants, I'm generalizing here, but I'm assuming the majority of the population of the world doesn't want Kim Jong-un to have access to nuclear weapons, you know what I mean?
Does he for sure? Do we know he does, or is that just, like, something he said?
I don't know, and I don't trust anything, and I definitely don't trust when people say they have or don't have, and the disarmament crap and the deal, the Iran deal, and saying they're only going to develop or enrich certain amounts of plutonium and whatever other uranium. I don't trust any of this in any sense whatsoever for a millisecond. So if they say they're going to cut back by 30% every 2.5 years, the amount of nuclear material, blah, blah, enrichment and development, I don't care, because I don't believe anyone in government. So, I don't get into the whole Iran nuclear deal of Obama, Trump, and Bush, and Clinton, and all that stuff. I don't trust anyone, not in Iran, not the right, left, Israel, Hamas, government, whatever, China, Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, United States government. I don't trust anyone. They're all liars.
Yeah.
So I could assume they all probably have nuclear weapons. I assume they're not going to slow down their development. That's BS.
Mm-hmm.
The Iran nuclear deal of Obama saying the deal says they promise not to develop more than a small amount over the next 20 years. And Trump was saying, oh, let's cut the deal up because, you know, maybe they will develop over 20 years or 25 years. And I'm like, dude, you can't trust any of them. The deal itself that everyone said was great, it said that the Iran themselves can inspect it, or you have to give them, like, a massive notice of, like, weeks or months before you inspect their facilities. So you give them time to, you know, cover things up anyway. So the whole thing, and I don't trust the inspectors anyway. It's all a sham. It's all BS. I don't trust for the disarmament crap in the agreements they've already mentioned. There's a great thing. A lot of countries have agreed to not have nuclear weapons. Yeah, those countries that signed it already don't have nukes, so they don't, you know, lose anything. And the countries that have nukes didn't even sign it. They didn't even pretend they're going to get rid of nukes.
Really? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that part of it. Yeah, so what's the point?
I think that's what they were saying, yeah.
I'm sure that there's enough already out there to destroy the world over and over and over again. So why are they even making more?
I'm sure just the United States alone has enough nuclear weapons to blow up the
entire... Actually, the other thing that hadn't even popped in my brain yet is the fact that the United States is harming us and other countries by nuking at the rate of, since the 80s, about one nuke a week. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they test them, and it does add up, and it harms the environment and us in our lives.
Yeah.
So now that I think of it, it's like that's happening right now, and nobody's yet, like, trying to disarm them.
That was one of the things I kind of mentioned when they were having this debate on Sunday, because one of Richie Rich's points was, okay, well, if I have access to, like, you know, however many miles I need in the desert to test this thing, then I should be able to blow it up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my point was, well, you don't actually know the consequences of that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know the effects of that. You don't know how it's going to affect other people. So, and it's a gray area, because since we don't have that knowledge, you should assume that the radiation going into the air and the sky probably is going to harm people.
Right, to think that it's not getting absorbed into rainwater and falling down elsewhere.
Yeah. So a lot of the time they do it, like, a mile up in the sky, or maybe not a whole mile, but
still,
up in the sky.
Wherever they're doing
it. And it will definitely come out of the rain.
Absolutely,
I used to live on a military base called Dugway Proving Grounds, and they didn't test nukes there, but they tested biological weapons. And kids I knew that lived there in the early 2000s, they remember the day they had to run inside because there was an alarm going off. And they saw birds falling from the sky.
It's like The Hills Have Eyes, where all those people are, like, mutated, and or maybe they were inbred, I forget. But
yeah, they were inbred.
Okay, but I'm sure there's some movie where, you know, that was a bad example because they're inbred and not mutated from nuclear weapons.
And also
Chernobyl, like, think about Chernobyl. Like, I'm pretty sure that was just a nuclear power plant exploding.
Yeah,
melting down or whatever.
The whole entire land within a certain radius was completely polluted, and it looks like it's snowing all the time just because...
Well, it's healthier now than it was before it exploded.
But still no one lives
there.
Yeah,
because no one lives there.
Because no one lives there. Yeah, that's probably true. But
wilderness has taken it back over.
And the other thing is that happened at Dugway Proving Ground. It's still not a nuke, but it's just the same idea. The government using these crazy weapons and testing them, it can harm people without them literally dying in an explosion. I don't know what they tested, but 2,000 goats and cattle around Dugway Proving Ground died in the 90s, I think it was, if not like the 80s. And it was like all these farms that owned all these this cattle, and the government was like, we are not taking responsibility, but we will pay you for all your goats. So they paid them for all their, you know, goats or whatever
like,
that died all at once.
We're not officially taking responsibility, but we will bribe you just so you don't make a big deal out of losing
if
all
you
your
sign
cattle.
An NDA.
Yeah, probably.
And another, so the thing that Richie did mention, which I think has a good point, is torts, which is a civil lawsuit, you know, for damages. So he said, after the fact, if I use it, you can use torts to be made whole as far as restitution and stuff. And I think that has some merit to that. Of course, with governments, like with Chernobyl, the government has sovereign immunity, which is from common law from the king. You know, the king can't be sued because the judges are all, you know, part of the king's government back from Britain. And the federal government surprisingly took, you know, they kept that tradition going where you can't sue the government unless they allow you to sue them, which they almost never do. But Congress has passed a few laws where you can sue the government for certain things. But for the most part, you can't sue the government. Whereas if one of us dropped a nuke, at least those people could sue us if they could prove they were damaged. Whereas like Chernobyl Hiroshima, Nagasaki, whatever, they can't sue the federal government for that. Or even if they nuked us, we couldn't sue them because they are the government. We they have absolute immunity. We cannot sue them. So that's another big thing.
Yeah.
Yep. The governments are definitely the most dangerous and worst people we want having nukes in their hands. And they're the ones that have it right now. So
it's scary, yeah.
I can't see how it could get any worse. And the other thing about it is the government has to, like, really hoard wealth in an unnatural way. I feel like the average person who makes a lot of money isn't, like, also going to want to kill the whole world, you know? It's like, oh, yeah. I've made all this money. All I want to do with it is... I just really think that you'd have to... There'd be such a small percentage of people that have even the ability to make a nuke because it's expensive. And then on top of that, how many of those are going to be psychopaths?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like...
Would you think those and Musk want to kill everyone in the world?
Yeah, like Musk might. Musk would be able to if he wanted to right now. Probably, like he could probably like go get himself a private island or whatever and make nukes right now. He's a multi-billionaire.
I'd argue that.
But it turns out that him and Bezos both enjoy having 7 billion potential customers. That's why they wouldn't kill him.
Right. What were you saying?
All the powerful people are psychopaths already. It's kind of part
of
the job.
Maybe now because they have to like be in this cutthroat, step on people to get where they are type of position. But I feel like if we had, you know, no governments, free markets, I don't think that every rich person would be like they are now. Like, Musk might be.
I also don't think that Jeff Bezos is like a super villain, though, that would want to nuke the world. Like, he's probably a psycho and he's definitely a weirdo, but I don't think. Hopefully not all
psychopaths are violent.
Yeah. Give him money.
That's the other thing. It's like,
yeah, he has incentive to not kill us all.
He
so I guess
incentive.
That's cool.
I read something that said he makes every 13 seconds, like $1.7 million, which is the average person's earnings over a lifetime.
Whoa.
Well, that's intense.
That is crazy. And
what
it's
do you
just like,
do with that? You know what I mean?
Why
buy
do
nukes,
these?
I guess.
It's too much money. How would you even spend it?
Why do these super, super rich people always end up getting with these creepy looking, oh, I forgot that you like Grimes, but these creepy looking.
But she is creepy looking. No, that's true. Yeah,
super,
I accept
like,
that.
Plastic surgery, gross. Like, Jeff Bezos's like wannabe cowboy girlfriend. She's gross. And
I've never seen her.
Why don't
before,
they just want to date a normal girl?
I don't know. I assumed Elon Musk was just like so into like technology that he wanted like a techno android girlfriend. You know,
I feel like she's just
assumed.
Like an ugly, super messed
who
up
else?
Looking face.
But like, who
person.
Else is gonna let him name his kid the crazy stuff, like the airplane name?
I think lots of people. He has a lot of money.
I was gonna say,
yeah, maybe.
She's just autistic.
Right.
She's not like that special. She's just autistic. He could find a pretty cool, nice autistic girl and then name his kid Aeon 37,000 or whatever. Sorry, Alo. Was that all you had to say about the nuke conversation?
Yeah, but before I go, I have to go in a second, but I wrote an article for Liberty Block late last night, or like 3 a.m., and there are three bills, one of them is bipartisan, but mostly Democrats, in the New Hampshire House that were heard today in the committees, actually, that would essentially ban all free speech, including possibly every meme, picture, post, video, and any other kind of content in the universe, as long as someone said they're objectionable or harmful to kids or don't have any redeeming qualities or literary or artistic value.
In New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So check out the article. Yeah, there are three bills. I think House Bills 1500, 1710, and 1260.
Where is it published
if I
again?
Correctly. LibertyBlock.com.
LibertyBlock.com.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, so very concerning bills. I think they were all smacked down pretty hard. The committees will probably recommend killing them, but you should send an email and do remote testimony anyway to say you support free speech.
Yeah, absolutely.
So their hearings already happened?
Yes, they were all at noon and one today.
I didn't even hear about that. I'm surprised. Because I know I kind of only hear about health freedom stuff usually. That's like what piques my interest. So I know
you,
there
you
was
said
a...
You don't read Liberty Block every day?
I do read LibertyBlock.com every day.
But you didn't read it since 3 a.m. this morning?
No.
So it's been almost all day. I can't
tonight.
Understand.
Tonight. But yeah, there was one, I think, I don't know if it was today or about circumcision, where they were going to make it so Medicaid did not cover circumcision. So if you want to circumcise your kid, you have to pay for it out of pocket. And then the second one about circumcision was that the surgeons or the providers would have to give explicit informed consent of all
yes.
of the possible.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of compelled speech saying they have to
yeah.
give a lot of notices and warnings
yeah.
to people. And I'm glad
Which
Bonnie
is,
and some other principal
yeah.
libertarians opposed it.
I agree with Alu on this. I think it's a bad bill. The
Why?
Second one, definitely. I hadn't heard about the first one or read it, but the second one that you mentioned, I don't like the idea of getting in between a doctor and their patient. I don't think that doctors should have to tell you anything before you get an abortion. I don't think doctors should have to tell. I think that if you want to choose a doctor that does that type of thing, you should research
I
a
guess
right
so.
Doctor.
Most people don't research, though.
Informed consent
their,
is best practice.
I agree with that, yeah.
So,
and
it's
then you should,
surgery.
Like, there should yeah, be doctors so. That are able to, like, put on their website, like, I'm all about informed consent,
yeah.
blah, blah, and whatever you want
yeah,
done, we're going to have this
sort
conversation.
Out all of this.
But this is also, this isn't doctors. This is hospital policies, which, I mean, isn't really like a provider-to-patient relationship that is, like, essentially, like, most hospitals accept a lot of money from state and federal governments, so it is kind of, like, not
really... But
that's
still on the side of, like, what should the government tell them what to do, instead of being,
well,
like,
not
oh,
telling
let's
them
get
what
them
to
less...
Do, it's informed consent.
No,
so
they're telling
like,
them that they
need...
have to do this. They're telling them you can't perform a circumcision unless you've done this.
But
and
right now,
like,
doctors are lying to people and giving them the wrong information. I don't think... I mean, whatever, people should have the right to lie if they want, but it's not best
yeah,
practice.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I agree informed consent
yeah.
is definitely a big issue for
too.
Me, obviously, legal medicine, but I think this one's into the territory of compelled speech, and that
yeah.
has to be the bigger issue. You can't compel anyone, and I get it, you got to tell them the risks, but you know, you can't compel doctors. Like this bill said, doctors have to give them like a whole massive lecture about the risks and everything. That's compelled speech.
Well, thank you for the call, Lou. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. More coming up. You can call in with whatever's on your mind.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. A Russian military transport plane that was carrying 74 people, including 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war, crashed today in a border region near Ukraine. There were no survivors. Marijuana sales in Michigan were high last year, over $3 billion, which is higher than the alcohol sales in the state. Western China reeling from aftershocks after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake yesterday in a remote part of the country. Three people were killed, five injured, hundreds of buildings damaged. Former President Donald Trump won New Hampshire's Republican presidential primary yesterday, defeating former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and moving him closer to a rematch with President Biden this fall. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Stingy.
And so in the last segment, we were talking to a caller named Alu, and we were discussing should people be allowed to own nukes? And I think that... it's a really interesting conversation. I don't have, like, a strong opinion.
That's the thing, and that's why I was very quiet on Sunday about it. Richie Rich was very heated. He kept bringing up, kept dogging on Dave Ridley.
Luckily, I mean, I like that he has this stance, but he's extremely pro-ownership all the time. And I agree with him when he's talking to... Peakless Mountaineer.
Yeah.
Like, there was this whole argument, like, should Richie Rich be allowed to, like, hoard an area of land and just say, I want to nature preserve it? And Peakless Mountaineer was like, I should be allowed to come with guns and take it from you.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
It's hard, and especially, like, I get emotional about things. So I try to stay very logical, which I'm pretty good at doing, but I feel like being on the show with Richie Rich is nice because it's like he is so principled and will be the contrarian, even if it's not something he really believes in, he will play that role, and it makes for a really good conversation and debate because it's even like what you guys were talking about. So right before the break, I was bringing up the circumcision bills and Bonnie, and I think Alu was kind of nearing your side too.
Oh yeah, me and Alu had talked about this.
Okay, so I was like, I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yep.
But I I was really glad that I even brought it up and that we had that conversation because it made me, I had never even thought of that.
Hmm.
And it's sad. It's like, I should think about stuff like that. Like, no, we should, maybe shouldn't be forcing people or doctors or hospitals, whatever, to give informed consent. Because to me, like, that's such a big thing in my practice that I'm like, no, everyone should be doing that. Even though everyone should be doing that and I can hold that opinion, we shouldn't necessarily force providers to do it. So I do kind of see your side.
There was this whole conversation in a chat I'm in with Alu, and there were libertarians that were like, oh, of course this is good, and then they changed their minds. Because
yeah, and that's kind of how I don't know if I changed my mind. I mean, I still might support the bill, even if it's not super principled.
And the first one sounds more interesting to me, like taking away government aid.
Yeah, like I don't want to pay for you to genitally mutilate your kid. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I mean? Like Medicaid, hello, no. But I will say, and this is me being emotional versus logical and principled, and I don't really care. I'm still going to hold this opinion, at least for right now. The reason why I support both of the bills is because there are a ton, and I kind of hold a strong opinion on circumcision. I do, at the end of the day, believe it is the parent's right to do it, especially as, like, a doula and, you know, working in home birth and midwifery. Like, I kind of mind my own business because it is like kind of, it's hard, but honestly, I do think that providers should kind of be forced to provide parents with this information because people don't research stuff. They just go with the norm and they're like mutilating their children without even knowing, like, fully understanding all of the consequences, because people will just do whatever.
Right.
People will give all of the scheduled vaccines, they'll mm-hmm. give the vitamin K, they'll give, you know, do the dumb eye ointment that doesn't even do anything besides, like, just, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing all of these things just because they're saying, yes, 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 whatever the doctor recommends, whatever the doctor recommends.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to have some sort of information on it, maybe they would make a truly informed decision that I would think would be better for their child. Again, it's not my kid, so it's not really
my
business, I guess. But
I agree with informed consent, but I don't think that they should be trying to sway people one way or the other.
Yeah, they like should it could be non-biased
facts.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be forced into it either. Maybe, like, have flyers or something.
Yeah.
But that's what they do in New Hampshire with the vaccinations. I don't know if this is a state law, but I've seen doctors at certain hospitals give, like, a big packet of, like, a bunch of information. I don't know if it's just the inserts. I actually have never read it. But they do... I've seen them give it before. I don't know if it's required.
I know there was a somewhere at some point, like with abortions, you were required to like sit and listen to a whole spiel about why you shouldn't get an abortion.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with that.
Me either.
Like if somebody wants one, then that's their business.
And it's like already hard enough. Like you don't need to like lay it thick on it. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, they should be informed of the risks and
the other thing is like, does it really do much? Like, not just abortions, but any of these things. Would, if you are like, it's your religion and you are dead set on getting mm-hmm. a circumcision, you're going to do it. You're going to be like waiting for them to finish talking and then be like, okay, yeah, I want to do it. Like,
yeah.
I don't really think that it would change much. And then like handing you the piles of paperwork, how many people have ever opened up a vaccine insert? Probably like not as many as people who have gotten the vaccines or gotten their kids vaccinated.
I feel like the people who are reading inserts
don't need the speech.
Yeah, there's that.
And then I feel like they're already open-minded enough to do their own research. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people kind of are already committed to their decisions.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, as much as I am also, I can't, like, I don't have, like, this really strong opinion because it's a parental rights issue in my mind.
Right.
But I also think that circumcision is, it just seems terrible. It seems like you took away a choice of a human being when they were a child of how they wanted their organ to be.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's not necessary. It's not medically necessary.
It's cosmetic, yeah.
Cosmetic surgery.
It technically is genital mutilation, and Captain and I kind of had this debate weeks ago or months ago. About whether or not it was child abuse, and he had a strongly held belief that it was child abuse. Mm. And it's kind of hard to argue against that,
right.
Especially if you've seen the procedure.
Hmm.
Before I did any real research into it, that's not true. I kind of already did some research into it and already had, like, an opinion that I wouldn't do it to my own kids. In nursing school, I witnessed a circumcision, and it was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
They literally tied the baby down to, like, a table, and it was really traumatizing for me. And
How long does it take?
It's pretty quick. Mm-hmm. It's not, but they use this weird contraption that's really scary. Like, the whole thing... And it's traumatic. And they say, like, oh, they don't feel it or they don't remember it, whatever.
They don't remember it.
They don't remember it in their conscious brain.
Right.
Yeah.
They remember it in their bodies.
Right.
Years from birth to 3 years old are the most important developmental periods that creates your personality and, like, literally develops someone into who they are going to be. So you're going to tell me that... You know, mutilating your child in one of the most sensitive parts
yes.
of his body, you're telling me that that is not going to hold, like, that residual pain and trauma isn't going to be held in their body? It absolutely is.
Well, yeah. And it's held in their mind, too.
Yeah.
Trauma as a small child is going to affect you, whether you remember it or not. You're going to be... changed forever because of that trauma.
Yeah.
Like, nobody would argue that kids who are very young, but their parent gets abused, like their dad and mom are fighting and their dad is beating their mom. Nobody would argue that that doesn't affect them.
Right.
It does.
Because they don't remember. Yeah. It still does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Have you guys heard about the trouble with the Boeing airplanes?
They
just fall apart.
Yeah. I heard the Alaska Airlines one.
Yeah.
Where it was like they were only in the air for like 20 minutes maybe, and mm-hmm. they already had like really
a
serious
door
issues.
Flew off.
Yeah.
Or at least window.
Yeah, something, yeah.
I think it was like an escape
door. Flew off, yeah.
They just happened to be lucky because it was an almost completely full flight, and there was just this one row, and I think it's like an emergency exit door was in this row. So if you were sitting at the window seat, you would be right next to this door. They were up in the air only like 10,000 feet, which they can go up to like 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
So luckily they hadn't really, really lifted up in the air yet. Well, this door just flew off, and it's like creating a suction, like a little kid's teddy bear papers, whatever is flying out.
Some kid's shirt off.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, his mom was like holding on to him.
I think
it's standard procedure for them to check the entire aircraft.
You would think.
Before liftoff, but I guess not. I mean.
This is just something, it's like it wasn't open, it's just a manufacturer thing from what I understand. And let's get into it. I think that it's so scary just to think about it. And me and Lori at least have talked about how flying is scary. Now I've just gotten way more scared. It says... This is from Al Jazeera. It says, poor quality control, race for profits behind Boeing's troubles. When an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737-9 made an emergency landing in Portland on January 5th following a door plug blowing out shortly after departure, alarm bells began to ring. You don't even need an alarm bell. Oh my God. For Boeing, this was another incident on its 737 MAX series, 737. And one that is, it simply could not afford to happen. Across the last decade, the trust in the manufacturer from the flying public has dropped significantly. Boeing's gap in market share with rival European aircraft manufacturer Airbus, a direct competitor, has widened considerably following fewer orders and deliveries per year.
Really? Because I feel like Boeing is, like, if you take a flight, like, you're going to be on a Boeing.
That's weird
that
you say that.
Like a 747 or whatever.
I don't know why, but I always see Airbus. Like, I don't choose specifically Airbus, but I feel like I'm always on an Airbus. But I don't know. I haven't flown that much.
Just today, the nose wheel of a Boeing fell off today.
What?
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Like, the part where they land.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't
hear about
that. The front of the plane just fell off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did see that on Twitter. says Boeing's current position has been attributed to several factors, including poor quality control, a race to secure profits, and more. Analysts and former employees that Al Jazeera spoke to pinned the decline on the company's culture, which has created a schism between management and employees on the factory floor for some time. Wow. Why even do a job that people's lives are at risk if you're just like, oh, I hate the management so much? Like, quit. Get people who care.
They have to pay appropriately for that.
Hmm.
That's a big problem.
Something to do with the...
Like, they don't want to pay for good employees, but they want good employees.
Hmm.
You know?
Are they, like, outsourcing it to other countries?
I'm sure they're just underpaying the people that work there.
It says the 737 crisis being only the latest symptom of the continuing problem. Flight AS1282 with service between Portland and Ontario departed on January 5th like any other scheduled flight. However, shortly after departure, the aircraft, a 737-9 from the MAX family, suffered a... pressurization issue from the rear mid-cabin exit door plug separating. The aircraft departed Portland at 17:06, so 5 p.m., and reached a maximum altitude of, 16,000 feet. And at, so 5:13, so what is that, 7 minutes later, with a descent beginning shortly after. All on board the aircraft escaped safely with minor injuries that were cleared by medical examiners. Dr. William Benzinger, an aviation medical examiner, told the Seattle Times that this happened at cruising altitude, more than double the altitude of when the blowout occurred, the results might have been dramatically different. So, I don't know, people might have gotten sucked out or in their eyeballs sucked out. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I know that it's, so the cabin's pressurized, so yeah, probably the vacuum, somebody might get sucked out, but I know that it's freezing too. When you lose pressure in the cabin, the temperature drops, and that's a big problem because people will pass out also.
Because, yeah.
And hypoxia from not having enough oxygen, and so you don't want your pilot passing out while you're flying.
Well, I don't even know why I watched this, but one time I watched this story about this girl who, she lived in, somewhere in South America, and she got on board a really cheap flight with her mom, and they were flying, and all of a sudden the plane just basically fell apart, and she's falling while strapped in to her seat. I can't even think about it, honestly. Well, one thing that happened was her eyeballs were so bruised she could barely see, and whenever I think about that, it just freaks me out so bad. But also, that's why I thought of, would people's eyeballs get sucked out if it's just sucking?
I don't know.
It just really freaks me out.
Like, even just the normal pressure changes from flying, it hurts my face because I have,
sinus?
I got my nose broken.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's all messed up. And that hurt, it literally hurts when they pressurize the cabin, pushes on my face, and I can feel it, feels like someone's crushing me.
Oh my gosh.
So I can't imagine the depressurization totally from the cabin. That would be
at 30,000 feet.
Oh my god, yeah, that would be awful.
Yeah.
That's just so scary. So here it just says the results may have been dramatically different. Didn't get into the gory details. That night, Alaska Airlines temporarily grounded its fleet of 65 737-9s, calling it a precautionary move. The next day, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, issued an emergency airworthiness directive that ensured 171 737-9s across multiple airlines with plug doors were grounded for inspections and possible maintenance. I wonder how often they're supposed to normally do that inspection or that maintenance.
I think they're supposed to do it before every flight. Aren't they supposed to inspect and maintain the airplane between every flight?
But, how deeply? There's probably just,
I would hope the whole thing, a full-on inspection. Mm. I would hope.
I don't know. I don't know how long that takes or, what things are you only need to inspect it once a week. I don't know if that's a thing at all. I'm just spitballing here. It says the National Transportation Safety Board has launched an investigation to determine why an exit door that is meant to be locked in place was able to blow out. Highlighting that it was not exclusively an American or Alaska Airlines problem, Alaska Airlines, and that probably sucks because their name is just getting Alaska Airlines, blah, 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 but it's not really their fault. It's the Boeing company. So highlighting that it was not exclusively an Alaska Airlines problem, Alaska Airlines was the second airline to identify loose bolts in the inspection. Hours before, United Airlines became the first to identify loose bolts, discovering them on up to 5 737-9s, according to the Air Current. The two airlines identifying quality issues dealt a new blow to Boeing. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun acknowledged mistakes that are made by the manufacturer and identified the incident as a quality escape when speaking to CNBC. Calhoun noted that this describes what was found in inspections, with the loose bolts and other issues being something that escaped from the manufacturing process. It was something that escaped from the manufacturing process, but how often are the people who own these planes and work at the airlines, how often are they supposed to be checking?
I would think very frequently.
Yeah.
You would think so.
I know someone who is an airplane mechanic. I should ask them.
Yeah, my brother is too in the Air Force, but it's not the same, I guess, as
civilian flights.
Yeah. It says, following Calhoun's comments, the FAA launched a formal investigation into Boeing's production practices and said it would look to determine if Boeing failed to ensure completed products confirmed to its approved design and were in a condition for safe operation in compliance with FAA regulations.
Right, how many people does that have to go through before it gets to the intended buyer? Seems for all of that to be missed.
It seems like it'd probably be a lot, because I know cars are that way.
Yeah, like, I'm sure someone inspects them over and over again, like, each part.
Yeah, quality control.
At each step.
Right, at each step, somebody should be inspecting things. Yeah. So how many people had to have been like, meh, whatever.
It says Boeing is legally required to meet the safety standards laid out to them, and the FAA has expressed concerns about whether these are met on several occasions, even before the January 5th incident. On January 13th, Alaska Airlines announced its quality and audit team will do a thorough review of Boeing's quality and control systems. Alaska remains the only airline to announce a formal review of Boeing's internal processes. Wow. And here's the picture of the door that fell out. It's probably like 6 feet tall and like 5 feet wide. Or no, it's probably like 6 feet tall and like 4 feet wide. I don't know. It's pretty huge. I wonder where it landed. That's what I kept thinking about. Even like the other things that flew out, like, you could probably kill someone.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because when they land on someone's car.
Yeah.
If you drop a penny from the Empire, the top of the Empire State Building, it'll like go through someone's skull if it lands on them.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So imagine,
So could the teddy bear do that?
Probably. I mean, it would definitely kill somebody if it hit them. I mean, it goes so fast. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I don't know about a teddy bear.
Maximum velocity at that point.
Even a teddy bear?
I think that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's heavier than a
penny. Well, I guess it depends on the teddy bear.
On the teddy bear. Because how much loft does it have?
I mean,
if it's like a weighted teddy bear. Well, everything has a maximum velocity. If you drop a feather from 10,000 feet, it's not going to reach the same speed. So it depends on the density of the teddy bear.
Yeah, what is the maximum velocity of the teddy bear?
The teddy bear could totally have something plastic in it, because I had this teddy bear with a little, a Velcro thing in the back, and then you could put a battery in it because it changed colors, and the feds ripped it open.
Yeah, so like if it's weighted, it's going to reach a much higher speed than like a stuffed one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's just kind of a funny thought experiment. Internally, upper management across the last decade has prioritized delivering aircraft to customers as soon as possible. That sounds like the profit motive issue here. These targets laid out by senior executives at Boeing were deemed unrealistic by those working on the aircraft. Dang, it's like maybe you should work on or listen to those people. As a result, employees felt pressured to meet deadlines that were not possible without corners being cut. Oh my goodness, that's so bad. Per a now retired Boeing employee who declined to be named and who worked with the 737 MAX and was on the floor, the immense pressure affected staff morale and work quality. Overtime was a regular occurrence across all teams to get the planes in the air as soon as possible. On several occasions, and if you're like working overtime regularly, you're probably like tired working on these freaking planes.
Yeah.
On several occasions, the former employee worked 10 to 12 hour days across a multi-year period in the mid to late 2010s. Longer than the typical time frame for his role of up to 8 hours. These overtime shifts were followed by lengthy weekend shifts occurring for month-long periods. Wait, so he never stopped working? He worked every single day? Before the latest quality lapses were identified, Boeing, in December 2023, requested the inspection of 737 MAX aircraft for potential loose bolts in the rudder control system. This followed an unnamed international operator reporting loose bolts during scheduled maintenance and Boeing discovering an improperly tightened nut on an undelivered jet in the same month. So I'm not sure when this was, before the latest quality lapses. Oh, December 2023, so they had discovered this issue in some of their planes. Only December 2023. At that point, it's like, why not like put out a notification to everyone who owns one of your 737 MAXs and get them to check that?
Yeah, you think that'd be like any recall for a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quality issues also appeared in August 2023 when Boeing found an issue involving Spirit AeroSystems, one of its key suppliers. These quality drops were traced back to holes on the aft pressure bulkhead that were improperly drilled, as reported by the Air Current. Boeing's drop in quality has been attributed to several factors. For the 737 MAX, a race to compete with Airbus in their A320neo. Oh my god, what a name. It's like a Elon Musk child name. Now, they saw this aircraft launched on a fuselage that analysts argued had reached its limitations. A culture already on the downturn only increased as the disconnect between staff on the floor and in the offices grew. And this is kind of like a conversation we're having with a caller like last week, where this guy was like, oh, I hate my bosses because, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but basically to summarize, he was like, I hate my bosses because I do all the work and they just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like what was happening at Boeing, and it actually impacted people's lives, and it could continue to impact people's lives if people don't pay more attention to the airplanes they own. 603-283-6160. Call in with whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.